Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
You never know what people mean nowadays when they use a word, because that's part of the hallmark of our age, part of the spirit of our age nowadays. The language is under violent attack. I don't mean the people out there screaming at each other. I'm talking about old definitions have fallen by the wayside, definitions that we used to depend upon to help make up the fabric of our common discourse, our common ideas, common ideals, especially here in the West, things like family. That doesn't mean what it used to mean. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tilt at windmills. I know that definitions change and the language shifts. I wonder why. And I wonder what's at stake when words like parent can now be variously defined. And I'm not just talking about a few exceptions to the rule, like step parenting or something like that. I'm talking about some radical differences in what people mean when they say the word parent or parents. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, September the 8th. We'll begin this hour talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about de facto parenting. Then, a little bit later, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us. He'll bring us up to date and explain a story about a Sudanese journalist who's been fined under Islamic law for wearing pants. Then, the last half hour of the program, Greg Kokel will be our guest. He joins us from Stand to Reason in Signal Hill, California, to answer a very common objection. If you've seen this Zeitgeist thing going around on the internet, it's one of those viral videos. It says that Jesus was merely a recycled savior. He was not actually the man portrayed to us, but the story was copped from old mythologies, all these dying and rising savior mythologies, dying and rise God mythologies. The gospel writers just stole the story and applied it to Jesus. How do we respond to that? We'll do just that in about 25 minutes here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623 MyIE, 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Before we get into how the definition of parent has changed, why has the definition changed?
Well, I think that there are a number of people in our society who want to radically disconnect sex from procreation. And in order to have the complete freedom to be sexually active anywhere, anyhow, anytime you want, with anybody you want, you have to disconnect sexual activity from parenthood. And so a whole number of things have been done, obviously, to make the connection between sex and kids more and more tenuous. So redefining parenthood is just another step in that process, because what's really at stake is you want to be able to say that the sexual act doesn't have any obligation attached to it, either implicitly or explicitly. So that, therefore, parenthood, instead of parenthood being the natural outgrowth of the sexual union of a man and a woman, parenthood has to be something else. And so what parenthood is becoming is a combination of agreements among adults plus legal institutions completely fabricated by the state in order to attach children to adults, because the usual method of attaching children to their biological parents through the act of intercourse and the legal system of marriage, that we can't have that anymore. That's way too constraining for the adults. So the alternative system that's coming up is a combination of agreements amongst adults and legal institutions invented by the state.
Is this part of a greater problem that you've talked about many times before on our air, and that is the shift from marriage and family being a child-centered institution to an adult or a parent-centered institution?
Oh, no question about it. And it's not just that marriage has become redefined as being an adult-centered institution. It's that the sexual act itself has become redefined as a sterile activity. You know, that the default mode in this society is that sex is intrinsically a sterile activity, and fertile sex or procreative sex is kind of thrown in as an afterthought for people who happen to be strange enough to want that sort of thing. But the default mode is that you're entitled to unlimited sex without a baby ever showing up. You're entitled to act as if sex is a sterile activity. And so we're accommodating parenthood in different ways because we don't any longer have it connected to sexual activity. And so all of that is part of the same kind of disintegrating function or disintegrating process, you could say, that we've talked about on this program before, which is that the organic view of marriage is that marriage organically connects sexual activity, love for your spouse, and the procreation and bringing forth of new life. That's all wrapped up in a nice tight bundle under the organic connection or the organic understanding of what marriage is about and indeed what human sexuality itself is about. Now what we've done is we've taken those three functions and put them into completely separate compartments, and people can mix and match as they want. Well, the problem with that is that kids don't get stable lives with their parents, and that you have to have the state inventing legal institutions to do the job that marriage used to be able to do all by itself.
I want to come back to that second point you made there in just a minute, but what then? How would you define what is being called in law in some places de facto de facto parenting?
Yes, what's happening with de facto parenting? I'm glad you brought that up because just this past week, this was the newsletter of the Ruth Institute, our weekly newsletter, which your listeners can sign up for by going to ruthinstitute.org. But the story that we had out was a report from one of our advisory board members, Mr. Bill Duncan, explaining how parenthood is being redefined in a variety of states, mostly by courts, not so much by legislatures, and that it's happening by stealth, and people aren't really thinking through what's happening, but cases are being presented to the family courts where they're assigning parental rights to people who are not biologically related to the children and who have not adopted the children. And that's the traditional rule basically is you're the biological parent, okay, you're the parent. You have adopted a child, okay, you're the parent. Well, now what's happening is that people are coming forward and demanding parental rights, whether it be custody or what have you. People are demanding parental rights for children whom they are not related to by either birth or by adoption. And so what's going on is that the courts are coming up with tests, three-part, four-part tests in some cases, where they say, well, this person has been close enough to the child to count as a parent in fact or a parent de facto, and so therefore we'll give this unrelated adult parenting rights with respect to this child. So what's really happening is that courts are attaching parental rights to non-parents at their discretion, basically. And I think this is entirely too much power and discretion to be giving to the family courts. Even if you had a set of courts that you thought were the very epitome of the wisdom of Solomon, you would not want to give them this kind of discretion. And we know that the family courts are anything but the epitome of wisdom. So it's really a very ominous development that very few people are aware of.
Then with only about a minute here and no more, Jen, is that what you're talking about when you say we're kind of cobbling together these dubious legal institutions in order to accommodate everybody's desire to be called a parent, whether they are or not.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is exactly what is happening to us. And one of the drives for it is coming from lesbian unions that have dissolved, where the former partner wants to have custody rights or visitation rights, and under normal law, they're not entitled to that. And so what's happening is that the Lambda Legal Foundation and other gay rights advocacy groups are going into court demanding parental rights for non-parents. And the problem with that is that however nice you might think it is for this particular lesbian couple, you really don't want that, I think, as a general rule. And people are not thinking through, what is this general rule going to look like? If you say, well, gosh, this guy has been hanging around a woman long enough, and he used to have a sexual relationship with her, therefore he's entitled to parental rights with her children. That's not the way we have ever assigned parenting rights in the past, and I think it's a very, very negative development. And, you know, as you said at the beginning, words simply don't mean what they used to mean. I think for those of your listeners who are philosophically inclined, you can see that this is what I would say is the last gasp of nominalism, where the idea, the philosophic idea that words simply mean whatever we say they mean, that is finally coming completely home to roost, and it's time to ditch nominalism in all of its forms and go back to some kind of realism.
Oh, she leaves me with a fascinating question that I can't ask or have answered. We'll have to wait till next time. Folks, you can read an article titled De Facto Parents: Now Children Can Have Multiple Legal Parents Without Biology, Adoption, or Marriage, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will explain to us how a woman almost got, whipped, but then later fined for wearing pants in the Sudan. Stay tuned.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click On Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and Lutheran exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget. Our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.